We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Obvious things of, okay, a better understanding mentally of what's going on and all those things. But then really, this is this, you know, can you get, a lot of people say, can I get 1% better? Listen, they didn't draft him in the first round to get 1% better. They drafted him in the first round so that he would take 5% better steps every year. And so they won a lot of games, and I don't want to use the phrase in spite of. They won a lot of games last year with Josh Allen being along with the football team. You want to see, because there's going to be 2 to 3 games this year, maybe 4, where they've got to win the game because of Josh. You know, the defense maybe doesn't play as well as it did last year, and they give up 28. And he's got to find a way against a good football team to score 30 or to score 35 points and be the reason that they win.
That is Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. If you missed it, he was on with us 7:30 this morning, so you can go back. A lot of stuff on Josh. We also talked to him a little bit about New England post-Brady. So it is available in on-demand audio, or again, you can always use the rewind function of the radio.com app and go back and listen to it. Thanks for hanging out with us on this sunny Friday. Going to be a nice weekend weather-wise. We're going to get into the upper 50s.
Okay.
Get out, grill, walk around the neighborhood. Hit a golf ball, whatever. You know, do whatever. Walk the dogs. You know, talk to the neighbor from front porch to front porch or back deck to back deck.
I was just in the break reading an article about, you know, how safe is it to go outside, about wearing masks, about yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. One thing, just the kind of person that I am, one thing that I will do is if there's something out there that is stressful or scary, I will read about it. You know, sometimes you might not want to read about that and stay away from, but I will want to know everything, you know. Just really in-depth stuff.
Sure.
Like, if you're uncomfortable flying, you know, some people are uncomfortable flying. When I feel that way, I just start watching, you know, in videos on how it works and processes. And, you know, I want to learn everything about a plane. I kind of dive into as much information as I can as the distraction itself.
Yeah.
So
Don't watch Air Disasters on Smithsonian Channel.
No, I've seen plenty of those.
No, but I think if you're uncomfortable flying, you shouldn't probably watch that show because it might freak you out a little bit. Like, you'd be worried on takeoffs and landings a lot.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that's right.
I do to a point. You know, I definitely have a cutoff point to your point about learning and dealing with stress by learning more. I do to a point. Like, I want to make sure, like, I know what we're supposed to be doing as a family, as an individual, as a family, as someone who's still in an office workplace. So I watch the press conferences. I want the information to see what's happening. I want to know what precautions we're all supposed to be doing, what we can, what we can't do, all this stuff. But there comes a point where I definitely, like, hit a wall, where it just becomes overwhelming for me, and I just have to change the channel and go watch a show. Like, just Family Guy or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It does get to a point where it's too much for me to handle. And I'm like, okay, I need to just stop for now because it's beginning to wear on me too much. I think that's where I was Wednesday, but
okay.
You know, so I'm somewhere there, and then I have to stop and do something else. I wanted to ask you about national TV, primetime games with the Bills, based on what we were discussing with Sal and his conversation with Mike North from the league. That the networks apparently are now asking for Bills games, which is cool. First off, New England, is that now like, that's not a primetime game anymore, right? Because Brady's gone?
I would think it's not.
Okay. Because I was, you know, like,
do you find them to be an interesting team to watch? There's no doubt they will. Yeah.
Well, no, they'll be interesting to watch if they crash and burn, from my perspective. But I like, if Brady's back, there's no question the Bills in New England would have been a primetime game.
Right.
Okay, so we've taken them off the list. So if you look at, the schedule is really good, by the way, in terms of the opposition and possible national games. Again, I say national, not just primetime, because I think for purposes of the discussion, or should we, throw in the 425 window?
Yep.
Okay. So you got your division games home and road. Your home games are Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Rams, Seattle. In that group, no on New England, probably no on Miami, probably no on the Jets, even though it's Allen and Darnold, right? Nothing in a national TV window from those games?
No, I don't think so.
So the other five games, KC, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Rams, Seattle, just the home opponents. How many?
Pittsburgh's always a good idea. You know, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, I think, could be.
Chiefs is number one, you think,
right? Chiefs could be. Seattle definitely could be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Chargers, no. I don't think so. I mean, is Tyrod Taylor going to win that job? Is he going to be the quarterback?
He is kind of, I hate to say by default, but it seems like he's, what did Anthony Lynn say this week? He's the front runner. That's not real. I mean, who's on the depth chart right now behind Tyrod Taylor in Los Angeles? Unless they're going to draft a guy at six. It sure looks like that. I mean, it's his job unless they draft somebody or sign Cam Newton. Right. Yeah. So I would be expecting Chargers depth chart for Tyrod Taylor to be their starting quarterback. Cause who else has taken the job?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to pull up their depth chart and let you know. And then the other Rams, right, with the Rams taking a step back next year, I do not see that as a big national TV or primetime game.
I still think Jameis Winston is the best idea for a backup quarterback a team could possibly have.
I don't know how you can improve upon some guy named Easton Stick as the backup in Los Angeles to Tyrod Taylor.
Wow.
You know what? It's funny. That's right. We had Randy Cardoon on the other day from KNX Radio, and he was talking about the Chargers and their offseason, and he mentioned something about some guy, and I thought, did he make that name up? Who is Easton Stick? And I remember looking it up. The kid played at either North Dakota State, one of the – Brayton, you know who this guy – of course you do. You have – here you come with your beautiful mind business.
Yeah.
Easton Stick, I never heard of this guy. You don't remember him, do you?
I remember when he was a prospect – coming out in the draft.
One of those programs is like they're dominant, right? They win the national title every year at that level. So that's him. Okay. So Carson Wentz's program. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So he's the backup. It's just Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick are the only two quarterbacks on the depth chart right now in Los Angeles. So somebody else is coming in, whether it's a draft pick or they decide to bring in Jameis Winston or Cam Newton. But right now, based on the depth chart, sure, Tyrod Taylor's the starting quarterback. So KC Pittsburgh are the two games you nominated as your best bets off the home schedule.
I think so.
Okay. Road, we're going to throw out the Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets again, right?
I think so.
Okay, your other five road games are Tennessee, Denver, Vegas, and then Arizona and San Francisco.
Vegas, because I think they're going to want to put Vegas on a lot.
Okay.
Even though it's the Raiders and Gruden and who knows how good they'll be. But
it's Vegas, right?
It's Vegas. They're going to want to show off that
new stadium right.
as much as they can,
which
I think.
Hopefully will be ready on time. Denver, forget, right? No Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves Tennessee, Arizona, San Francisco.
One more time?
Tennessee, Arizona, San Francisco.
No, I don't think any of those should
get. None? Okay. No. So the only game really as far as a road national TV, although Vegas could be a 425 also because it's in the western zone or whatever.
The home schedule is better than the road schedule, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you might nominate Tennessee as a possible because two of the top teams in the AFC.
Yeah,
not a sexy looking game.
No, they're not. I think if the Bills are going to play a primetime, aren't they going to – I don't know. I was going to say they're going to want to put a big market there, but is Kansas City that big of a market? Not really.
No, but I mean, it'll get great ratings in Kansas City.
Sure,
of course,
I mean, they're the Super Bowl champ. Yeah.
Right. So you're looking at KC, Pittsburgh, Seattle are the three best bets for a primetime or a national TV, a 425 late window game for the Bills. Nothing on the road, all home games.
Yeah.
425 home game, you like that, huh?
I do.
A little later tailgate for you?
Yes,
get
I
to
do
sleep
an,
in,
an awful lot, especially earlier in the season.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need it in November where it's going to get dark,
out,
but
yeah.
You know, you give me a week 2 4:25 game. Oh yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, would it still be light out when the game ends at 7:30?
It would be getting dark.
Okay.
In the fall, when do we put the clocks back in October? Right, or fall,
I think
back.
Right somewhere in October, right?
Yeah,
right.
So you've got some time there where it's still light out at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
I think. Who can even tell? I don't even know what day it is. Never mind the sun cycles in September. It's getting kind of tough.
I think, yeah, I guess it still would be light at 7:30. I'm trying to, I don't know.
Google it. What time is the sunset on October 1st?
Sunset October 1st. Okay, sunset October. Thank goodness for the internet, by the way.
In Buffalo.
Oh, yeah,
let's
probably
just guess.
Should.
I'm going to guess 6:58.
Holy crap, did you check it?
No.
Come on. You're lying.
What is it?
I mean, you are way off. It's 6:56.
Oh, wow. Well, but it stays light a full hour past that. You know, like there's sunset and there's dusk.
This is the projected sunset Thursday, October 1st, 2020 in Amherst, New York, 6:56 okay. p.m.
Perfect. So, yeah, afternoon, 4 o'clock game there. Great.
So maybe
sun
you get
down,
sun,
game ends.
Yeah, little shadows maybe. You know,
you're driving home when it's dark, yeah. Getting dark, but the game's still played in the light.
Right. Okay. So a 4:25 early. When the schedule comes out by May 9th, I'll look for that week 2 4:25 game for the Bills. 803-0550 to join us. So you're going to watch WrestleMania this weekend?
I mean, maybe, right?
Well, maybe. Guess... Okay, there you go. That's
what
good.
Else is there to watch?
iRacing.
Why,
you know.
Why are you saying it like that? I've seen plenty of WrestleManias.
I didn't know if you would be curious,
I have been
curious enough to watch it.
I have been an in-and-out WWE subscriber.
Well,
it's $10 a month. So,
again.
You know, Saturday night I might just pop it on and pay $10 to see it.
It is WrestleMania, the sterile version.
Right.
It isn't with 70,000 screaming maniacs.
Right. Oh, I know.
It'll still have fireworks, probably. They do. I think they had indoor fireworks on one of the SmackDowns. It's two nights, Jeremy. So it's 7 o'clock Saturday and then 7 o'clock Sunday. Don't forget. And they've taped the matches. Like this is all this stuff is being done beforehand and they're recording these matches in waves and then playing everything back over two nights. So it's funny. Jonathan and I were sitting down last night. I'm like, hey, we might bring up WrestleMania on the show. You're the expert. You know, what do you think are going to be the best matches? Tell me who you think is going to win and all this other stuff. And he pointed out there are spoiler alerts that are leaking out.
Oh, there always are.
Which is sad. I'm not going to bring any up. Like, I guess it's already out, like, who is going to take Roman Reigns' spot.
Oh, well, I mean, there are betting lines. So
no, but I like word is out like they actually know because they've taped it already.
No. What I'm telling you is who's he supposed to fight?
Goldberg.
Okay,
but Roman Reigns pulled out.
I could check the betting lines and see if.
Oh, is it listed with the opponent? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even want to say who the opponent is because I like for someone who doesn't know, I wouldn't want to ruin their WrestleMania experience, and I don't want to know the outcomes. So I am going to watch, and I still would like to be surprised at how these things play out. So I think there are some good matches. I really do. I like some of the storylines going in. I'm going to watch. I think it's good. I'll do my best. I can't tell you that I'm, like I said, without fans, it is dramatically different to watch from home when there's no interplay or reaction to the booing, the cheering, the reaction shots of the fans, all the chants they have. This is awesome. It's just not the same. But I think there are some good enough storylines to watch. And I got to watch my boy, The Miz. You know, he's going to be in I think it's a triple threat tag team match. So I'm definitely down for the triple threat tag team match. Mm-hmm. And I got to see Otis beat Dolph Ziggler and win back Mandy Rose. And, you got Brock Lesnar wrestling. And
it's for two nights. So it's got to be really. That
yeah,
means.
Yeah.
I guess that
which
means
is good.
It won't go as late, right?
No,
so
that's
an advantage.
Well, that's part of the
usually
WrestleMania.
Usually goes till 11 or 11:30.
Well, if you include like the undercard. The pre-pay-per-view card, if you
it's like 6 hours.
7 hours last year.
Yeah.
Mike Baggerman, who is a colleague of ours at WBEN, I'm trying to remember where it was. I don't even remember where it was last year. Was it New Jersey, maybe? Mike went to
at
WrestleMania.
Live Stadium?
Yeah, I think so. He went to WrestleMania because I think they ended up sitting in the rain for some. Yeah, it was. It was MetLife. He went, and like the undercard started at 5. This thing got done at midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just. Man, that is way too long. Way too long. So even just the TV version portion of it, I think, was 5 hours last year. So they're breaking it up in two nights. That's a good thing. So you can watch a little bit Saturday, a little bit Sunday. And like I said, there's some good cards. So I think it'll be fun to watch this weekend.
My weekend will probably involve some reading. I got a new book that I'm going to read, a new sports book that I'm excited about. So get some, good quality reading in. It's another book about the Premier League.
Okay.
Which I got because there are no games anymore, but I like watching the Premier League. I love international soccer, but I did not grow up playing soccer, so I don't really know the formations or the strategies or the tactics.
Yeah.
And it is a book called The Mixer, And it is about not only the tactics, but the evolution of them as the Premier League has evolved. So basically from 1992, how England used to play the game and just morphing into what it is today. And, you know, I like to – one of the reasons I like to read about the Premier League is because I feel like I know – I don't mean it this way, but I know so much about the leagues over here. You know, I've lived through them all. I've seen the growth of the NHL.
Yep.
We've talked about why do they do this and why don't they do that. And, you know, the Premier League in 1992 was not a big deal. It was not this massively popular sport. It was, you know, just a bunch of teams just kind of getting by. And just like other sports leagues, the rights, the salaries, the money has gotten insane.
So it was not a big deal over there at that point, huh?
Well, I mean, it was soccer was a big deal, but it was
yeah.
I think the first chapter of this book talks about how in the early 90s, before the Premier League really formed and took off or started to, it was thought to be, let's just say the book talks about it like we talk about hockey. Like, sure, people love this sport, but I mean, it's run by, excuse the phrase here, the book claimed it's run by idiots or slum fans, hooligans.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's definitely not a hoity-toity luxury box sport. It's just this bar league, garage league soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started implementing some rule changes. You know, and I love to read about rule changes in any sport. I just love it because in the moment, a rule change is always greeted with, oh, look, you can't do that. How could you change the game like that? You know, I love to read about rule changes.
Wow.
And whether it's the NFL adding the forward pass, you know, you try to make a rule change in the NFL. We have a conversation about it. We get all these texts. Oh, you can't do that.
Right.
Like, they added the forward pass.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That seemed to be a good idea.
Right. And like all these changes about you can't hit a defenseless receiver. Oh, come on. Why not? But these leagues control how good their product is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in soccer, one thing that they changed, and it was just so funny to read about this, was as simple as I didn't realize this in 1992 or whatever when they formed this league. They made it where if you kick the ball back to your own goalie, he cannot pick it up.
Oh, you know, he can only play with his feet, huh?
With his feet, right.
Yeah.
And when they made that rule change, it was a small change, but it was something they thought would keep the game aggressive and would change tactics, and it did. But, of course, what happened right when it was proposed? Oh, my God, what do you think you're doing to our game? Yeah. You're ruining everything. And
right.
Even one of the most famous managers ever and most successful ever called it a joke, and all these people that want to change our game, our beautiful game. It's just amazing. I love reading about rule changes, whether it's Deacon Smith's head slap when you just – I don't know. For me, it's always about embracing this idea of, all right, well, how do we make this game better?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't exist because it was ordained by the gods and we must keep the tradition. You know, a game evolves. A game is designed, whether it's taking the hand check out of the NBA or – not allowing goaltenders to play the puck behind the net. You know, like these tiny changes, sometimes big changes, are designed for competition and entertainment. And that's why I got this book, because I don't know the evolution of the Premier League and I want to learn about it.
I think it's interesting with the changes. It depends on, by the way, you're wrong. Baseball was ordained by God and the rules. So that's why you can't screw with it. That's why DH was such a bad idea, right?
The DH is a great example.
The DH is a great idea. And yet when it came out,
it was blasphemy.
I'm one of the guys. I was one of the guys that said, what? You can't do that. It changes the strategy of the game. The managers can't double switch. I love having the pitcher for the other team come up with the bases loaded. I can get him out. What are you doing? A ninth batter? I mean, yes, I was very much anti-DH.
And the new one for baseball is, hey, in extra innings, let's put a runner on second base.
Heresy.
Which I say, of course you should do that. Right. Like, let's get this thing over with. It's not an unfair advantage. Everybody's getting that advantage. So, the NFL overtime structure. Well, what about this and what about that? You know, like, I just think that sometimes we talk about these changes as if they really are an affront to sports humanity. No, just change it.
Yeah.
Just have this be the season. We talked about this with the NHL, if they do come back, or if the NBA. If the NBA does come back for 2 months, go to the Elam ending.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. For the rest of this month, just, you come back. Hey, real quick, everybody, we're just going to do the Elam ending because we want to get these games over with. Okay.
Yeah.
You have the power to change your rules. It's, probably stems from anytime I hear any company, if you're on the phone in customer service, well, that's our policy. Well, go change your policy. It's your policy. Like, it's your rule. You can change it.
That's why I think it's funny. Depending on what rule you're talking about, the reaction at the time, and then 10 years later, 20 years later, like, people would laugh and go, really? Someone thought it was a bad idea to have a three-point shot in basketball? Why would they really be objecting to something like that? What? You're adding another point? From 20 feet out, you get an extra point. Why? You know, and I think, but I, despite what you might think, I was not alive watching the NFL when they decided to bring the forward pass into play. But at the time, I wonder if, like, did coaches resist? Were there coaches who came out and said, what? A forward pass? No. No, we can't do it. It's going to ruin the game. What are you talking about? Whereas now, you'd look back and go, can you imagine they played the game of football at some point without having a forward pass? And even some of the hockey rules about, which one of the games I was watching back, I think it must have been one of the Sabres games. Maybe it was the Sabres. Was it the Sabres Devils game? It doesn't matter. One of the games they were playing back, and they were talking about how that it was the year like the red line was taken out for icing purposes, or one of the other rules involving neutral zone, red line, blue line to open the game up, and I'm thinking back, yeah, what took them so long to get to that point? You know, like why did they wait so long to change this rule or that rule? Now, some of them I don't know how you are about VAR, and I know it's how terrible you are about offside challenge. So some of the rules you're going to read about, you're still going to shake your head and go, "Boy, it was a bad
They're both
idea.
Terrible. They right. make the game worse."
Right. But, you know,
and that's not a rule change. That's a let's stop everything and make sure we meticulously evaluate this rule, which I mean, I think that's a little different.
Okay. See, I always thought that was a rule change.
Well, every one of these other changes is to better the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And these ones, I do not believe, do that. I believe that they take away from the sport.
Right.
Because it is designed to, I don't know, it's for gambling. It's for class action lawsuits if a call gets wrong. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Why anybody thinks that, you know, the pass interference change, they did it for a year. And then they just undid it.
Yeah.
There's right. a good example, by the way. You know what? You can just – should we toss an asterisk on the Chiefs Super Bowl, by the way? Because they existed in the year with the pass interference challenge?
Yeah.
They just decided to take it away.
You can
try a rule change and then
sure.
pull it back.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's why, depending on how changes go, like as I've gotten older, I've become more in tune with trying different rule changes, but for baseball, for sure. You want to put a guy in second? Great. The three batter minimum rule, I know a lot of people are saying it really won't make a hill of beans difference in time of play. I don't care. I'm tired of watching three pitching changes in a half an inning. Let's do something about it. If it bombs, okay, scrap the rule next year. But it's funny. I'm for a lot of stuff, but the minute they said, hey, you know what, we're going to have challenges on pass interference, I thought, that is a horrible idea. And that's just, you know, I think they're going to, if they walk it back, they'll cover their tracks with this sky judge thing. So I think you might see, like, well, we don't want to completely lose the ability to correct missed PIs, like non or calls that were wrong or calls that were made. So you know what? We're going to take the coach challenge away, but we're going to put a sky judge in the building, and that person will make sure the Rams-Saints play never happens again. So I think they're going to cover their tracks, so to speak. Hey, I was looking at the Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. He's breaking down the Sammy Watkins contract, like the signing bonus, the base salary. It's kind of mm-hmm. funny. So if you're Sammy Watkins and, you know, you really want the Chiefs to make the playoffs for incentive money, he gets... Okay, Watkins postseason incentives breakdown. If he gets 8 touchdowns and the Chiefs make the playoffs, he earns $750,000. If he has 65 catches and the Chiefs make the playoffs, it's another $750,000. If he reaches 800 yards and they make the playoffs, it's another $750,000 for Sammy Watkins. And he gets money for an AFC championship win and all these different things. So Sammy's going to need 65 catches, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, and the playoffs. And he's going to make a little over $2 million just from that. It's a cool world.
Sure.
Right, right. Love it. Wonderful. Incentives.
He also has a no-trade clause.
You got a no-trade clause? Oh, yeah, look at that. Right, he got a no-trade clause. Interesting. For 1 year, whatever. It's not going to screw the Chiefs up if you give a guy a no-trade clause on a 1 year contract. You know, that makes sense. All right, when we get back, phone lines, of course, open. You can join us at 803-0550. One of the things we're doing is we're going through the Bills schedule, talking to folks who cover the opponents on the schedule. What have they lost in free agency so far? The offseason so far. It's basically getting caught up on all the Bills' opponents. What have they gained? The needs going into the draft and any other issues that pertain to that particular team. We will discuss the Denver Broncos when we come back. Benjamin Albright's going to join us from Denver, and that is on the way. Hey, for the latest on COVID-19, WGR is helping Buffalo stay connected. To get all the latest news on COVID-19, make sure you tune in to News Radio 930, WBEN, WBEN.com, or WBEN on the radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We sit right now, there's no question Drew is the guy that we're looking to, and so obviously you want to be able to improve as a football team, get him some weapons on the offensive side, but also do some things on defensive side. So the process begins now. It's begun. We've been in evaluations of the free agent class, and now that we're here getting the numbers on the college kids, and from this point on we'll start developing that plan and get better on both sides.
John Elway talking about the Broncos. We'll talk about the Broncos right now with Benjamin Albright from KOA Radio in Denver. The Bills, of course, and the Broncos will play this coming season. Benjamin, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing? How are things going on in Denver these days with everything that's happening? Hopefully everybody in your family is okay.
Yeah. Everybody on my side of the house doing all right. We've, we picked up some pretty early quarantining around here, so we've been might be going a little stir crazy here in week three, but otherwise, okay.
Well, on the football field, let's start with key losses this offseason for the Denver Broncos. How many starters are they down? Who are some of the key players that left this offseason?
Well, I think the big names that are gone would be Chris Harris, the former All-Pro corner, and Derek Wolfe along the defensive line. Harris, of course, went to the Los Angeles Chargers. Broncos traded for A.J. Bouye to replace him, get a little bit younger. And then, Derek Wolfe just signed a deal with the Baltimore Ravens, 1 year, $6 million. The Broncos, however, traded for Jarrell Casey from the Titans and brought back Shelby Harris. So in terms of major impact, I don't know that the net loss there is that high. Drew Locke is going to be starting, no more Joe Flacco. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of big names defecting while you've got some exciting young or younger names taking their place.
Is the no-fly zone no longer intact?
Well, I think they've kind of settled on the new fly zone as the new name. You got Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson back here at the safety, and that's a pretty decent 1-2 punch there. Bouye at the corner position. They got Bryce Callahan, who didn't really play last year because of injury to that foot, will be back. And Devontae Bosby, who played a couple of games and looked pretty good, who will also be back. So they feel like they've got a decent secondary. It's just a question of if these new guys can come together and stay healthy.
So to this point of the offseason, Benjamin, with who went out, with who came back, they're better, they're worse, they're about the same, it's negligible. What do you think?
In most cases, I think they're about the same or better. I think the loss of Will Parks is going to hurt them. They didn't really, Will was kind of a do-it-all guy last year, backup both safety positions, was kind of the dime linebacker, played slot corner a little bit. They don't have anybody with his versatility right now that can do all that. So in terms of that portion, I think they're worse off. But otherwise, I think they're mostly better.
What'd you think of bringing in Melvin Gordon?
I love Melvin Gordon, the player. I wasn't super keen on Melvin Gordon, the contract, but the Broncos had a bunch of money this offseason, so they can actually afford it. There's some question here about what that means for Philip Lindsay, because they paid Melvin that money, so he's going to be kind of the bell cow guy. I think you're going to see Phil Lindsay in more of a versatile role, being that secondary running back, punt returner, maybe you can split out wide a little bit. Gordon, over the last couple of years, number two in the NFL, short yardage, goal line situations. Broncos is a team 30th overall, so there's kind of an obvious beat, I guess, addressed there by that.
The quarterback, I mean, he's not new, but it is now Drew Lock's team, right, for sure?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Drew played the final five games last season, 4-1 as a starter, the one loss being that blizzard game against the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. So, there's a lot of optimism here in Denver about what Drew Lock brings to the table. I think that five-game sample size is a little small, so people aren't totally totally bought in yet, but at the same time, there's cautious optimism that they might finally found a quarterback since Peyton Manning.
What's the upside, or what did you like about him from the five-game sample size?
Well, he's fearless. He's athletic. He just brings a different energy. You know, he brings an energy they haven't had since Peyton was here. You get on the field, guys want to play for him. Guys want to play with him. It was evident that first game too. They came out and were lighting it up against the Chargers. They were super conservative in the second half, just running the ball because they had the lead. But right away when that game ended, guys were running up to him. Dalton Reisner picked him up. They were celebrating. It was just an excitement. It was palpable, and it wasn't there when Joe Flacco was playing. It wasn't there when Brandon Allen was playing. So, I think guys are just naturally gravitate to him as a leader.
Where do they fall in the division? You know, everybody will say the Chiefs are number one. But as you evaluate Denver and you throw in the Chargers, and granted, we're still in the middle of the offseason, so more moves can be made, and you add in Vegas, where do you think the Broncos will fall in that division next season?
Well, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say they're number two in the division. Believe it or not, they actually finished there last season. Wow. which is kind of shocking.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's funny, yeah.
Right. People didn't realize they were number two in the division. It's part of that was because of that 4-1 finish. It took them a little while to pick up Vic's defense. They had a very conservative offensive coordinator that they fired and brought in Pat Shermer, and they want to take some more shots down the field this coming season. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say number two in the division again. Chargers have a pretty stacked roster, but the quarterback position is a big question mark with just Tyrod Taylor there, and their offensive tackle positions will shake. You look at the Raiders, and there's some things to like about the Raiders, but we don't know if Derek Carr can ever get back to the form he was a couple of years ago, and that defense has been bad, to be charitable. I just don't know that either of those two teams are ready to get up there and compete with the Chiefs.
So, in terms of going forward now, whether it's free agency, Benjamin, or maybe more so about the draft, where are the needs, or what are the main needs you still believe could be targeted going forward in the rest of the offseason?
Well, we've talked here since December about the offense needing a speed infusion at wide receiver. Courtland Sutton's a great player, but they need somebody that can take the top off opposite him to really open things up. Henry Ruggs would be obvious in the draft if he were there at 15. I'm reasonably confident they would take him if he were. They need some help at center. You got two guys, Patrick Morris and Austin Schlopman, who haven't really played that much before. In a pinch, Graham Glasgow, who they just signed at right guard, could move over there. He's played a season at center before, could move over there. You have Eli Wilkinson at right guard, but they'll look in the draft at the center position. And then I think inside linebacker. Todd Davis is kind of the quarterback of that defense. Alexander Johnson was a huge surprise last year, but Todd is athletically not really what you want at the position. Yeah, he gets everybody lined up, but he struggles going away from the football. So I think they would look to upgrade the athleticism at the inside backer position and then maybe some depth at corner.
Well, before we let you go, I feel like we would have had you on our show before the draft talking about all the different quarterbacks the year the Bills took Josh Allen. Whether we did or we didn't, you are covering a team that will play the Bills this year. And as you know, they got Stephon Diggs. And on our end of things, Benjamin, people are really raising the bar for the Bills this season, coupled with that and Brady leaving. What are your thoughts on what you think the Bills will be in 2020 since they are on the Broncos schedule?
Well, it's like I said before last season about the Bills. If that quarterback situation gets nailed down, you guys got a heck of a team. That defense is really stout. You just needed some, I felt like, some size at wide receiver, and that was part of the deal. The Bills heavily invested in going out there to watch T. Higgins play at Clemson. And when they went out there to that pro day, they came away unimpressed and pulled the trigger on that Stephon Diggs trade right away, which should kind of tell you, you know, the direction that they were looking at. I like Josh Allen. He certainly played better than I thought he was going to coming out of Wyoming. I got to see him up close and personal out here, but you know, he needed some bigger receivers out there. Having all those little pinball receiver guys that you guys had last year kind of did him a disservice. So, you know, I think Buffalo is ripe to take the division this year. With New England, you know, down to Jarrett Stidham, I don't know that that's going to be able to carry them to win. So I would not surprise me to see Buffalo win the division.
Benjamin, thanks for your time this morning. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we appreciate you joining us on the show.
You as well, gentlemen. Thank you.
That is Benjamin Albright, KOA Radio in Denver, as we make our way through the Bills' opponents. We'll talk about more of the opponents coming up next week and take a look at how their off seasons have been progressing. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. We'll get you set up for the Sabres replay tonight on MSG, the doubleheader of Sunday Night Football games that are on NBCSN. And someone tweeted us the semifinals are set in that we were talking about the Niagara Water Cooler game bracket.
Yeah.
They're down to their final four. So we'll go through the matchups
and
in
the semifinals.
And they
called it the Fun Four. A strikingly unfun set of games that have made the Fun Four.
Well, okay, that's your opinion. I like three of the four games that are in the Final Four. I don't remember what my Final Four picks were, but I think I only had one of them right, actually, from the person who tweeted at me. But there's one game that I wouldn't say is fun, but I'm good. I'm good with the other three, actually. All right, we'll tell you about that in a second. Hey, Instigator's coming up top of the hour on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
You got it? Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna, go ahead, play the clip.
Ayer tried to clear it in front of the net. Ayer's got it again. In behind the net of Finneganoff. Of Finneganoff. Good goal, Priest, they score!
So that's the game tonight. If you're following the Sabres replays, weeknights at 8 on MSG. April 5th, 2006. Jeremy, were you at the game?
That would be which one?
Beating Ottawa 5-4 in overtime. April 5th. Brière scored two goals. Yeah, Brière scored two goals that night. Max had a goal and three assists.
It's a regular season game?
Regular season game, right towards the end.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Lindy's 300th win.
I want to say probably. Okay. I went to a lot of games back then.
Notable from that game, I mean, they won, but they also they improved their record to 47-23-6, the most victories by the team since 1983-84. And they had really struggled against Ottawa, but they finally beat them. And let's see, blah, 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 blah. Right. Oh, Marty Baron had an assist. I forgot. I was going to tweet at him this morning and ask him. I should have brought that up yesterday. He assisted on his goal. It was Baron's first assist of the season, the fifth of his career. So that is the game tonight at 8 o'clock on MSG.
All right.
If you want football, the Sunday Night Football doubleheader tonight on NBCSN is Breeze, Brady, and Manning. First game is Indy, New England, Week 10, 2009. The notable moment in this game, that was the Bill Belichick goes for it on fourth down inside his own 30 game. And he was trying to put the game away. Patriots had a lead. They didn't get it. Manning gets the ball at the 28 or wherever it was and ends up throwing a touchdown pass with like 13 seconds left of the game, and they beat the Patriots to move to 9-0. That's on at 7 o'clock on NBCSN, and then it's followed by San Diego and New Orleans. Drew Brees sets the NFL record with a touchdown pass in a 48th consecutive game.
Notable, against his former team.
Against his former team. Notable, Sean Payton not coaching that night, but in the building serving a suspension because of Bountygate. And he had, I don't think he didn't miss the whole season, right? Wasn't it just a portion of it, or did he miss the whole season? I can't remember. Anyway, Bountygate.
Payton, whole season.
So, yeah, okay, so that was 2012, and he was sitting out with, like, Joe Vitt and whoever else sat out from Bountygate. Oh, their GM was suspended, too. So that's tonight. So you don't like the bracket in the fun four, huh?
No, I'm not. I'm not impressed with the final four teams that made it.
Monopoly, a one seed, against Yahtzee, a three seed, and the other matchup is a five seed, the lowest remaining seed, Clue, against number two seed Uno. This bracket is, by the way, right up my alley.
Okay, this is the regional semifinal, or
this is the final four, I believe. I thought it was their final four. Maybe I read it wrong. I thought it was the final four.
Give me those again.
Monopoly versus Yahtzee, Clue versus Uno.
Yeah, not great.
All right,
Monopoly was a prime candidate to get bounced early.
Was a one seed.
Right. Should have been knocked off in the second round.
No, Monopoly survived. So we've been playing Uno. I was going to break Clue out this weekend from the basement, and we ordered Yahtzee because we were out of it. So, and we have Monopoly. Ooh. So this is right up my alley. This bracket.
One thing I'll tell people about here, if you have a PlayStation, you have PlayStation Network, there is it was on sale the other day for $12. Just, you know, a public service to entertain yourself. Hmm. Scrabble, Trivial Pursuit, Monopoly, and something else. And you can play them at home, or if you have online friends that also have PlayStations, you know, family to family, you can play Scrabble or Trivial Pursuit.
That's cool.
Risk is also on there, I think, too. It's a Hasbro family pack, and it was
$12. Last minute of play in the show.
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it was on sale. It's supposed to be $40. It's on sale for $12 as of 2 days ago.
Love those games. Right up my alley, stuff that I can actually understand as opposed to trying to learn euchre. All right, you got anything else? I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add before we go.
No, okay. Not really. How much last minute of play in the show? Yeah.
Nothing, huh?
That's it.
She's quiet.
Good.
All right, Betty's not barking.
She's in the other room.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Brayton, enjoy your weekend. Everybody stay safe. Get out and enjoy some fresh air, you know, social distancing, all the guidelines and everything. But it's supposed to be nice. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Do whatever you have to do. Grill and get some fresh air. And enjoy yourselves. And we'll plan on being back Monday morning at 6. Have a great weekend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.